And how oftentimes walking through some of the most difficult things or things that may hurt or stretch us can lead to some of the most like freedom and fun and enjoyment in our lives. So I was trying to think through some of those, and like I remember like learning how to drive, right? Like it was scary and really stressed my relationship with my parents. But it was like worth it. I got like freedom as a 16-year-old boy to go out and do things on my own, like go to Denny's at 1 a.m. But no, it was like other things that I've pushed myself through that have led to great results, like eating 24 wings in one sitting. You know, it's like I had to push. And there was pain, but I got to the other side and I made an accomplishment. Fitting into skinny pants, you know, that's like tough, but sometimes it's worth it when you look good on the other side. But then I was also thinking about, for me, many of you know, I play the saxophone, and I remember like getting that thing with all the buttons in fifth grade, and I was so pumped about it. I remember putting it together, and I put the mouthpiece on backwards, like upside down, and I just started honking, and it was like this terrible, like I should have been sent to prison for the noises that came out of that thing at that point. But like I was really excited, but then shortly the excitement wore off because it got really hard. And I wasn't very good. Like, I don't come from a musical family, and I was really bad. And like in middle school, there was 13 saxophone players, and I was the 12th. And that's not like 12th best. That's like when you're in the second row, that's not ideal. And that's where I sat, and I was like losing heart. I was like, I want to quit. Mom and Dad, like, my friends are out playing. I want to go outside and play because I'm a 13-year-old boy, and that's what we like to do. And they were like, no, because we paid. And it was really the best decision they ever made. And so they, you know, we got some private lessons. I began to work harder and harder and harder, and things began to click. And that now it's like led to this thing where, you know, it's a lot of fun and there's so much joy. And I was just thinking about that in life. Like sometimes those hard things that we want to just quit, we want to just kind of throw off, whether that's like allowing God into those dark places, those hard things. You know, they lead, as we allow God in, it really leads to making like music with our lives and just this freedom. And so that's with that in mind, I don't know what this series has been like for you. I know we've covered a lot of really significant, important things. And maybe it's been difficult. Maybe it's been confusing. Maybe you're just not quite sure what to do. Maybe God has met you powerfully in these weeks and through these teachings in our times of response. Maybe it's brought up some stuff from your past that you're just not quite sure what to do next. And so my hope is that you would press into it like we've been talking about throughout this series, and that you would trust God and that you would meet with God in that, because I believe that as we do, we can experience tremendous freedom on the other side. So we started this series by looking at this iceberg image and just like, what are those things that lie beneath the surface of our lives that maybe we don't want to address, that we don't want others to see, that really kind of lead to what comes above the surface, but there's these things that lie beneath the surface. How do we expose those things and bring them to God? And then the second week, we looked at generational sins and thought patterns that get passed down in our lives. And we talked about how much these things can really impact our present and our future. But however, with Christ, we can break these things off and set us forward to a new future and new present as well. And when I was doing that sermon, I was reflecting on it afterwards, and I was wondering if maybe for many of you in that time, that was some of the first time you've heard that connection made between the generational and kind of what you're experiencing in the present, you know, with the spiritual and generational and those things, kind of the interplay of those. And if that was you and you've needed some time to process, that's good and that's okay. I just encourage you this morning, we want to create some space for you to respond to that and to other things throughout this series that we've talked about. Then the third week, we looked at walls in our lives, those things that make us feel stuck, confused, kind of like, where was this all going? We feel like we're just walking around in circles. And I really had a lot of feedback that image of the wall or that sermon really resonated with many of us who are experiencing that in our lives. And we talked about how God doesn't just bring us to those walls and then just leave us there, but how with Him we can walk through these things at the right time as He leads us. And then last week we talked about engaging in our pain. And I know it's a little heavy, but I think it's really important for us as a community to rally around one another, to engage and to invite the Lord to meet us in those places. And I believe that it's been really important for us to talk through these things. And the whole reason I brought this whole series up and done this is because I really want us to experience freedom in Christ. I believe it's a part of our discipleship as we allow God to enter into the parts of our lives that maybe we don't want to let even ourselves or others or him into. But doing so will begin to break these things off and begin to lead us into this incredible freedom. And I just think it's so important. So why did I go after difficult stuff? Because I love you. I'm not having fun always talking about this, but because I love. And sometimes when we love one another, we push each other to go to places because we see the freedom, we see the forgiveness, we see the life that's on the other side. I mean, just think about it with parenting or with teaching or coaching or whatever. Sometimes we have to nudge people to go a little further so they can achieve more of what God has for them to be. So this week, I want to close out our series with one more example from the life of Jesus. And like I talked about last week with the story of Jesus in the garden and just how that story and that just that picture of him crying out to the Father in the garden has always gripped me. This story that we're going to look at today is another one that's always captured my attention. It's always fascinated me. And as a dude, I'm not totally sure why I would be fascinated about a woman who is bleeding for 12 years. But after really diving into the story and reflecting on it once again this week, I really know why, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. So there's this story in Mark 5, and Kendall read the end of it. But there's a story of a woman who has a discharge of blood for 12 years. For 12 years, she's dealing with this, and she's healed by Jesus. And this story is in three of the Gospels, so it's a prominent story. It's a prominent example of Jesus healing and reaching out to somebody in need. So the context of the story goes like this, that Jesus is traveling on his way, and while he's on his travels, there's a religious leader named Jairus who stops him and says, hey, my daughter is sick, will you come heal her? And so there's crowds around, there's all these people who now are following Jesus because of his miracles, because of his teaching. And so there's, just imagine this scene that there's this incredible crowd, and then in the midst of this journey, this religious leader, Jairus, comes up to Jesus and says, hey, my daughter's sick. So he begins to travel towards this daughter. And then along the way is this encounter that we read in Mark 5, 24 through 34. I'm just going to read the whole thing and then I'll make some observations for us this morning. So a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and spent all that she had and was no better but grew worse. She heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body and she was healed of her disease. And then Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And the disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. I want us, as we talk through this story, I want you to not just kind of hear the words, but I would just encourage you to allow yourself to begin, if you can, to allow yourself just to immerse in your mind into this story, to see what is happening, to see Jesus, to see the woman, to see the crowds, just to picture it, because I think that sometimes when we allow ourselves to enter into the story of Scripture, we can receive so much more. And so I just, as we talk through this, begin to picture, not yourself here, but in like almost like you're watching this whole thing play out. So there's a few main things that I want us to talk about as it relates to diving deep through this series, through the things that we've walked through. And I wanted to say this series, while we're wrapping it up this morning, it doesn't stop. Like, it's not like we're done diving deep. Like, hey, we did that, check that off. Like, we continue in our lives, in our spiritual journeys, to allow God to dive deep into the depths of our hearts. And so we want to continue to press in. And maybe there hasn't been something today or this month that has hit you as we've talked through it, but I hope that these teachings, that if there is something down the road, that you're like, oh, okay, this is a wall I'm experiencing, and I know Jesus can help me through it. So that's part of my hope for this series. So the first point that I want to make here is just this idea of unclean. So I want us to look at what this means for this woman to have the discharge of blood for 12 years. What that meant in their culture was that she was ceremonially unclean in her culture, which meant that she could not go to the temple, which meant that there wasn't a way for her to connect with God, because that was the presence of God in that day. She was also cut off from the public, because anywhere that she would go, that she would have to yell, "Unclean, unclean, I'm unclean." So she couldn't touch other people. So just imagine, for this woman, she's cut off, in essence, from God in that culture. She's cut off from community as well. And so the other interesting thing just to note, is just a side note, is the powerful part, is when she touches Jesus' garment, by law, she would have made him unclean. But she doesn't make him unclean. He actually makes her clean, which is just the power of Jesus. But oftentimes, as we think about this series, about diving deep, there's these things that lie beneath the surface of our lives, these things that maybe we wrestle with, that we don't allow others in, where it makes us feel like we can't connect with God. Maybe we feel like there's a separation between us and God, and it feels like there's not an opportunity for us to do that. Or we feel like this shame around other people, and we feel like we can't fully connect in community or with others because we've got this thing going on deep down in our lives, and no one else has it going on. Everybody else is just running around with daisies in their hair and like skipping through the rainbows of life. And meanwhile, like we're in this just deep, dark pit. And we can begin to feel like that when we have these things going on. And so just imagine what this must have been like for this woman, dealing with this not only physical issue that would have been difficult to deal with, but then just the societal things that were going on as well, just this separation that she was feeling. Just imagine what it would be like for this woman in this day, where everyone knew her stuff, right? As she had to say that, I'm unclean, but no one really knew her. Right? Just imagine, this woman is suffering physically, she's suffering emotionally, and she's suffering relationally. And I feel like oftentimes, as we allow these things just to sit beneath the surface, we can begin to experience similar things in our life. Then the second thing is that she tried everything, right? She spent all that she had. She went to all these physicians, but what happened? It grew worse. Her condition actually grew worse. I mean, how many of us can relate to that part of the story in our lives, where it's like, God, I've tried everything. I've done it all. I've tried doctors. I've spent all my money, and yet I'm still sick. I'm still struggling with this. It seems like there's still no answers. Like no doctor can ever seem to fully diagnose what I am going through. Or I've changed my diet, and it seems like I can't lose the weight, or I can't get beyond the pain, or whatever it may be. Or I've worked in that hard conversation with that relationship, and yet there's still tension. I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried, and there's still this tension in the relationship, God. Or I've worked, and financially, I just can't get ahead. Like, every time it seems like there's a break, there's another disaster, you know, and it just feels like we're just going, I've tried everything, I've tried it, there's nothing that I can do, or even just our mission. Like, God, I've tried to follow you, I've tried to live out on mission, it just feels like I keep hitting roadblock, and I've tried everything in my own strength. And yet it feels like it's so difficult to break through. There are these times in our lives where it's like our past seems to come up, or that wall seems to just stay there and we just keep bouncing off of it. Or the pain just seems so great and we try and we try and we try everything and we can't seem to get that breakthrough that we so desire. So what do we do if this is where we are, where we feel like we're cut off, where we feel like we've tried everything? What do we do with this thing that lies beneath the surface? Well, this is where we follow the example of this woman, that she presses towards Jesus at any cost. So despite the shame, despite the labels, despite all that society was telling her, you're unclean, you can't go out in public, you can't go to these things, despite the fact that she had tried everything, she sees Jesus and she begins to push through the crowd. She doesn't give up. She wants more. She wants him. She's heard the stories. She has faith that he will heal her. She knows that he will. She knows that Jesus is the one that she needs, and she's not going to stop at any cost to get to him. So she sees him there, but the crowd is in the way. What will she do? Will she make the crowd unclean? What's going to happen if they find her out? And yet she continues to push through it. And I can just imagine her thinking, like, will this be worth it? Like, can this happen? Yes, I do. I believe, like, this back and forth thing happening. This blood has been flowing for 12 years. I'm tired of it. This man can help. I'm going to go to him. This faith that she has draws her towards Jesus. And she pushes through the crowd. If I can just touch his garment, if I can just touch the edge of it, then I'll be healed. And I could just imagine like a movie as she's pressing in through the crowd, like at the last minute, just as she's about to grab the hem, like somebody like slides over and steps in front of her, and it's like, another wall. or like, oh, my past is coming up again. They're going to find out. Or just at that moment, like she gets like knocked down or something. It's like, oh, my, this pain again. But then she keeps pressing. She keeps pressing. Nothing is going to stop her from getting to the edge of his garment. And this is what I really want for our church coming out of this series. That I wanted our faith to be built as we looked at these things, as we look at how God can meets us in all these different places. That I want us to have this same sense of urgency, this same hunger to press towards Jesus, to run to him no matter what it is that we're experiencing, no matter our past, no matter our wall, no matter our pain, no matter what it is that we push through, and we want to meet with him no matter what. And this is the part of the story that I love, that resonates with me, is I want to be like this woman. Despite what everybody else may think about her, what they may say about her, she's not going to let it stop, and she's going to go until she touches the edge of his garment, because I want that urgency. I want that urgency that she has. I want to pursue Jesus the way she does. I want to recognize that Jesus is my Savior, that he's my healer, that he's my friend, that he's my God, and that nothing, like Paul says in Romans, could ever separate me from my love, not what the crowds are saying, not what I may feel like I may be making them, but I'm going to continue pressing in so I can touch the edge of his garment and meet with him. My past, my wall, my pain is not going to stop me. I want to pursue Jesus the way this woman does. And so we reach out to him in faith the way she does, believing that as we do, that he will meet us where we are. And then she touches the garment, and you heard in the story, she's immediately healed and began to recognize that something in her body had changed. And the last thing I want to talk about with this story is this encounter. So Jesus senses this healing power go out from him. And he looks around, he's like, who touched me? And just, could you imagine the whirlwind of emotions that this woman must be feeling at this exact moment? Like just joy, thankfulness, maybe confusion, excitement that she had just been healed. Like, what in the world just happened to me? Like, I just touched a garment, now I'm healed. But then also then as he asked that question, I wonder if she was maybe thinking of like fear or confusion or shame. Like, what if I'm found out now? Like, I just touched all these people. Like, what if I'm found out? The thing was, she was trying to slip in and slip out so that no one would have known that she had, like, quote, contaminated them. But Jesus turns around and he stops. He's like, who touched me? And the disciples are like, bro, like, who touched you? Like, do you see? Like, this is worse than like Hershey Park on a hot July day. Like, there's so much touching. Like, everyone's touching everybody. Like, why are you even asking that question? But he knew. And the woman, when he says that, she knew that she was healed, and she falls before him then in fear and trembling. She begins to tell him this whole story, and she pulls back the layers. I just imagine her pulling back the layers of her own iceberg. I've been bleeding. I'm unclean. I didn't say anything when I touched you, but I couldn't be in the temple, and I had to keep yelling that everywhere I went. And I could just imagine Jesus saying, shh, daughter. And that word, don't gloss over that word. Daughter. In that moment, Jesus is not just healing her physically. He's restoring so much more. Your family. You matter to me. You're mine. You're included in this, in my family. You are my daughter. You're not unclean. Right here, Jesus is totally changing the label that had been put on her for 12 years. Moving from unclean, from separated, to family, to daughter. Just in that moment. It is powerful. It's Jesus saying, I don't want you to slip in and out anonymously. I want you to know me. I know you. This encounter that Jesus has with her in this moment, it is showing how much he cares for the individual in a busy crowd on his way to do something else, that he stops. This woman matters because she's worth the time, because she is his daughter. He says, your faith has made you well. You did well. You're healed. And he says, go in peace. And that peace is not just like a, hey, peace out. It's this concept of shalom, of peace, and where it covers this wholeness, the well-being, prosperity, security, friendship, salvation. If you think about it, you look at how her body was healed and whole now, and that that also now that she's restored as a member of society, that she doesn't have to say that she's unclean, that she doesn't have to spend all her money on doctors. She's provided for once again, that she can be free to move among the people and have this sense of community, that she is now a daughter of God, and she knows that because she heard Jesus say it to her. And she's saved from her pain. You're now a different person. This encounter is powerful. And if I could close this whole series as we looked at these things that lie beneath the surface with one picture, it would be this encounter. That you would imagine yourself as the woman in your pain and your confusion and your desperation, and you reach out to Jesus, and then you see the way he responds to you, and that he relabels you. You're not labeled by that thing that's beneath the surface. You're not labeled by that stuff in your past. You're not labeled by the wall. You're not labeled by your pain, but you're labeled as son or daughter. You matter. And the love of Christ, as it enters into this moment, rewrites a completely new outlook for her, and it will for us as well. I can just see almost like the iceberg shattering. There's freedom now, new life, no more secrets, no more shame. And another powerful part of this story is Jairus, the man who had asked Jesus to heal his daughter, and they're traveling. He was a man of means. He was a leader. He was known. Meanwhile, this woman is poor, so in that day, especially even just being a woman, would have been viewed less than a man. She's poor, she's unclean, she's unknown, she's destitute. Both of them need the healing of Jesus. And it shows us throughout the story, and Mark is intentional here to put the story of Jairus here and here, and then right in the middle, there's the story of the woman, because he wants to show us that there's no conditions for us to meet, for Jesus to meet with us. We just reach out to him in faith, and he will meet all of us. It doesn't matter about your level of income. It doesn't matter about your level of brokenness or not brokenness. It doesn't matter about your level of knowledge or lack of knowledge. It doesn't matter about the amount of chaos or lack of chaos in your life. It doesn't matter. It's just as we reach out to him in faith, he responds to us and we meet with him. So go, he says, be different, be healed now. And this is what I want for our church, to encounter Jesus in this way, that he knows when we're reaching out like this, that he has the power and the compassion to bring healing and hope, that he will meet us in the midst of any suffering, any pain, any confusion, any difficulty, whatever that may be, that we can trust in him and we can run to him in faith. There's one last quick story I want to talk about, and then we're going to receive communion. On the cross, when Jesus dies on the cross, there's two criminals crucified on either side of him. One of the criminals during this time is laughing and mocking him and saying, you know, hey, if you're the Son of God, go ahead and save us. Like, hop down from there. What are you doing? And meanwhile, the other criminal's like, what are you talking about? This man is innocent. We deserve to be up here. But this man is innocent. And he says to them, then he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, in the midst of all of his own pain, he said to him, truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. So again, here's this moment where Jesus meets with somebody, meets with the man in the midst of his pain, and even in Jesus' own pain. This is the God that we serve, that we serve a God, a Savior, who will look past his own pain that he's experiencing to meet us in the midst of ours. Now, this criminal still is crucified that day. He still walks through the pain of the crucifixion. But how different do you think he walked through the pain versus the other criminal on the other side who walked through the same pain? Who do you think walked through with more hope, with more life, with more joy, with more freedom? Both were experiencing similar pain. But do you see what the presence of Jesus does for us in the midst of our pain? One was rebuking him, and the other was reaching out to him. This is the power of the cross and the resurrection. This is what I want us to be. I want us to be like that other man, like the criminal on the cross, like this woman who was bleeding for years and reaching out to Jesus. I need you. I need you right now. And just look at how it changes us and it transforms us, that we can allow him to meet us in these dark places, our difficult places, and then we surrender to him and we meet with him there. I'm going to have the worship team come on up. Like I said, we're going to close with a little more worship here this morning. And I also wanted us to close this morning and our whole series with a time of communion. And for me, communion, especially as we think about that picture of Jesus on the cross, it's more than just a symbol that we may have. It is a symbol, but it's this opportunity then that we have to connect with Christ in his suffering. And we remember that all that he's done for us, remember all that he's done, did, remember the love of the sacrifice that he willingly gave up his life for us so that we could find him in the midst of anything that we may be walking through. And so as we receive communion today, we remember and reflect on Christ and what he did. We understand that he has walked through things just as we have. And we thank him for that, and we connect with him through that. We reflect on the power and the love of his life. So the blood, the bread represents the broken body of Christ. He was broken and yet later resurrected. And the juice then represents his blood that was spilled out for us so that we could have freedom from forgiveness from our sins. So we could meet with him in the midst of these things that whatever we may be walking through, we can meet with him. So I'm going to read this from Matthew 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples. He said, "Take, eat, because this is my body." And he took a cup and he gave it to them saying, "Drink it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you that I will not drink again of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So this morning we're going to conclude with the time of communion, and those serving, if you want to come on up and serve as well. And the way we do communion here is we invite you to come forward, and it's just an opportunity to connect in a community somewhat versus just staying where you are, because communion is not just individual, there's a communal response to it. We do it together. Like we've been talking about throughout the series, we don't do all these things on our own. We connect with the Lord and we connect with one another and we share in that. And so the prayer team is going to be up front and around the front sides here as well. And there's more prayer team people available this morning as we conclude this series, because we felt like it was really important for us to have the opportunity for all of us to be able to connect with God and with one another in the midst of whatever we may be walking through. So I just encourage you, after you take communion or receive it, to then go and pray with somebody who has a little badge on, and you can pray with them, and they would love to pray with you and just encourage you through whatever it is that you're experiencing right now. The other thing I just wanted to say is, as we receive communion, is that by taking communion, you're acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, that he is your Savior. And so we have open communion where we don't require you to be a member, but we do ask that by taking communion, you are saying that. So I just encourage you to take that seriously as well. And maybe this is a great time for you to begin to enter into that relationship with Jesus. And again, the prayer people would love to pray with you about that as well. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll receive communion. We're going to sing. We have more songs here at the end for us today, just so there's more space for us to respond and pray with one another. So God, we thank you so much for this story, God, for the power of that encounter. And I pray right now that we would just see ourselves as that woman, just desperate for you. And God, how you meet us right there in that space and restore us and bring something so much more to us. God, as we receive communion, I pray that we would just connect with you. We would thank you for all that you've done. God, that you would restore any areas of our lives that may be broken or hurt or stuck. God, thank you for community too, that we can do this together. We don't need to just walk this life alone, but we do it together. So God, we just give you this time. In your name, amen. So you can go ahead and stand up, and as you're ready, you can come and take communion.